is up? Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the number one motivational show on the planet. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We're streaming on iTunes. We are on Periscope right now. Shout out to everybody listening on Periscope, streaming live. It's awesome. If you're not following me on Periscope, hit me up. Download the app to your smartphone, and you'll be notified every time yours truly is streaming live, like last night when I was eating peanuts in the Kroger parking lot. People watching. That was very exciting for those of you that caught that. For those that prefer not to watch me eating peanuts in my car in a Kroger parking lot, you can tune in to the live show, live stream of the show. I already know what giving up feels like. I want to see what happens if I don't give up. Neela Ray. That's a quote from Neela Ray. You ever feel like giving up? You ever feel like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. Why does this happen to me? And this sucks. And I ran out of money. And nobody likes me. I've been there. You know, here's what's funny is that I don't think I've ever been involved in, and I mean anything that was worthwhile, that didn't involve a tremendous amount of heartache, pain. And that sounds like, who the hell wants to sign up for that, right? Well, let me let you in on a little secret, champion. If you aren't signed up for the adversity, for the pain and the challenge, you're going to be left out when the rewards start to be given out too. You know what I mean? Because you ain't getting the reward unless you get the punishment that goes along with it. You want those six-pack abs? You better get that Rusty Duff off the couch, put the Fritos down, get the jump rope in your hand, and get yourself to the gym, all right? You want to be around great people? You better get out from the water cooler and all the boo-hoo and the woe is me and all of that and start hanging around individuals who don't talk like that. You want to know what it's like to succeed? You already know what it feels like to give up, right? Think about that. How many times have you given up? I've given up a lot. I don't think there's an individual out there who's especially in the entrepreneurial world, who tries something and they're like, well, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. So I don't really think I'm going to keep going down this road. You ever had your house foreclosed on? You ever been bankrupt? I have. You ever had the eviction notice put on the door? You got to get out. I give up on the apartment. Yeah, I give up, man. I give up on the job, all of that. How'd it feel? I felt like kind of a loser, you know? Feel like kind of a loser when you give up. You say, well, but here's the thing you got to realize. I shared a stage with a guy one time named Alex Mendoza, and I remember he told the audience this once, and this kind of stuck with me. He said 95% of his ideas never work. 95% of his ideas never work. I was like, okay. So those other 5% must be pretty damn good ideas, you know what I mean? And that's the truth, you know? And I think the reason is what Alex was trying to tell people is quit trying to be so perfect, you know? There is a thought process that is you got to cut your losses. You got to move away, all right? But today's message is I already know what giving up feels like. I want to see what happens if I don't give up. And I can relate to this personally. Back in January, I weighed in at a svelte 198 pounds. I had the big fat moon face going. I was out of shape, but I thought I was in shape. I was going to Alex Mondozian. Yeah, Alex Mondozian. People are asking on Periscope, Alex Mondozian. I'm sure if you're in internet marketing, you probably heard of Alex. But we've shared the stage a number of times, and I heard him say that about 95% of his ideas just never work. But when I weighed 198 on January 4th, my buddy Thomas Tadlock gave me a little big old can of whoop ass and said, hey, let's get you into shape, man. So I started eating a lot of greens, and he would make me send him a picture of what I was about to eat. And if you want accountability, send a photo of what you're about to put in your stomach and then see what your trainer says about that. He's like, you got to get greens, man. You got to get greener. I'm like, dude, I'm eating a salad. He's like, no, you got to get more green. I was like, oh, God, what are you talking about? He's like, spinach, baby, spinach. Eat spinach. You know what? Go get a Vitamix blender. And I'm like, dude, those things are like $480. I can get a blender on, you know, eBay for $20. No, you got to get the Vitamix blender. You got to start drinking spinach smoothies. I'm like, wow, wee, man. I wanted to give up. 3 weeks into it, I'm like, this sucks. I want a pizza and wings, you know, wash it down with a Bud Light. But I couldn't do that because I already knew what it felt like to give up. I already knew what it felt like to be out of shape, give up. And you know what? You'll always find somebody who will say, yeah, I tried a diet too. I'm happy. They're not happy. They're miserable. But they found somebody like you who's also happy being fat, you know, who's also happy with no money. You want to join the no money club? It's free. How about that? How ironic is that? You want to join the no money club? It costs you no money to join the no money club, okay? You want to be successful? You got to step up, man. You got to grow bigger than your problems. So I stuck with it. 198 turned to 196, okay? That's not a big deal. 196 pounds, that's not a big deal. But I felt better. I felt better. Look at it. Ticket to the gun show on Periscope. Check that out, man. And then 196 turned to 195. It turned to 194. And now I'm a svelte 187. And I'm still not where I want to be because I texted Thomas the other day. He said, what's your waist? Now, my waist was 39 inches, okay? And 39 inches sounds big, but it's the actual – that's not my waist size you buy jeans with. When you measure, you put a tape measure around your waist. It's a little different, you know? So 39 inches was big. I was wearing a size 36, sometimes 38 waist. The older the jeans, the better because the waist wears out. And it says 36, but it's really 38 because the waistband's going on it. Wore a lot of sweatpants, you know, because fat people like sweatpants, you know. But then I started losing weight, and I was like, damn. And I had these pair of shorts I bought in 2012, and I was at the best shape ever in my life. And they were a size 32 waist, and I would try to – I'm wearing them right now. These shorts right now, these are size 32 waist that I got on right now. And I used to wear a size 38. You can't see if you're not on Periscope. But I used to try to put these things on, and literally it would take like a steel rope to try to pull my waist together. But I've focused on the pleasure of being able to fit back into that size 32 pair of shorts than the pain of drinking these damn spinach smoothies and eating all this green stuff and not being able to have a, you know, a pizza or anything like that, a hamburger. Started buying Ezekiel bread, eating all this green stuff and hummus and all this stuff. Now it's part of my diet. I got 8,000 bananas. I mean, you'd think Curious George was living in my refrigerator, you know? And I didn't give up. I didn't give up. And as a result of not giving up, I knew what it felt like to succeed. I'm not where I want to be. I want to get down closer to 180. I'm telling you, man, I'm at the tipping point right now. I'm at 187. I can go the other way, and I can go back to 198 real quick. I mean, I can get to 198 in a New York minute. Or I can stay the course, and I've never been 180 pounds, not since I was like a senior in high school, you know? But, man, the discipline involved in getting to 180 versus the easy road out of going back to 198. Oh my God, man. It's tough. It ain't easy. But you want to be in the best shape of your life. You ain't going to hang around people that are in the best shape of their life. They're not going to say it takes discipline, commitment. You want your bank account to be in the best shape of its life. You got to hang around individuals who know how to get that done. Individuals who don't give up. We've all been broke. We've all been broken. We've all, you know, had a challenge or two. You're just lucky that your doctor hasn't told you only got 30 days to live. You know, so many people say, how's it going, man? All right. You got 30 days to live? No, I hope I got more than that. Great. Life's awesome. I mean, seriously, that's the only answer I give. I give my kids, you know. Hey, how's it going, kids? Well, we don't have anything to do today. Well, you got 30 days to live? Oh, Dad, we got more than that. Great. Let's go. Let's get after it. They hate being around me because... Well, they don't hate being around me. I'm their father. They might hate being around me. I don't know. I guess I should ask them. Kids, do you hate being around me? But I don't listen. We're all allowed to have bad days, but you tell your doctor about your problems and you tell the marketplace about where you're going. If you reverse that and you tell the marketplace about your problems, they're not going to want to have anything to do with you. They're going to be, oh, he's complaining again, bitching and moaning, and nothing going on, as usual. But you'll get all the apathy in the world. You get all the pity, man. You get all those people saying, I know how you feel. I know. It's tough. The deck stacked against us. Well, of course, I think the deck is stacked against you, but I also think it's in favor of you. If you feel like you're getting closer to your birth date than your death date, then you got things in the wrong order. I mean, I'll be 47 years old next week, man. I ain't getting closer to my birthday, meaning 1968, okay? So I understand there's a sense of urgency, and I love it. Now, other people may think that that's the deck stacked against them. I don't. I think that's incredible. I think Jim Rohn used to talk about, he said, death is the permanent equalizer, man. It is a sense of, I got to get done before my last breath comes out of me. And if you don't have that sense of urgency, man, you're doing something wrong. And if you're always going to give up and try something different, give up and try something, you know what comes up with the give up game? The blame game. And inside the word blame is lame. So when you say, I blame you, I blame this, I blame the economy, I blame Obama, I blame Bush, I blame Clinton, I blame everybody, I'm blaming my congressman, my congresswoman, my telephone repairman, I'm blaming my plumber, my electrician, and everybody else in between. Don't you run out of things to blame, the people to blame? I mean, aren't you tired of blaming somebody else? How about not giving up? And you know the sense of accomplishment, what it feels like to stay into the game and win? My God, you ever won a trophy? I mean, back before they used to give a trophy to everybody. Like, everybody gets a trophy. Little Johnny gets a trophy. Thanks for participating, Johnny. You finished in last place. I'm not talking about that. You ever been a part of a group, a team, an activity, a community that came together and you won? That sense of accomplishment, that sense of feeling that you raise that trophy in the air or something, that ribbon, you never finish a 5K, whatever it is. I don't care if you only walked it. At least you didn't give up. And that's the key. You got to feel what it feels like to win. And once you feel what it feels like to win, you're going to stay in the game the next time it gets more difficult. But if you always give up, if you never see it through, if you're always blaming other people, you're never going to taste that victory. And if you never taste victory, you'll never have that memory in your subconscious programmed of what it is to feel like to win, because that's what keeps you going, man. So whether it's weight loss, whether it's money in your bank account, whether it's a relationship, you got to win. And I don't even care if it's a smaller win. It doesn't need to be a $1 million win. It can be a $10 win as long as you stay in the game. If you weigh 250 pounds right now, getting to 247 pounds is a win. Do you think if you got to 247, you can get to 237? If you got to 237, can you get to 227? And if you get to 227, can you get to 197? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But you can never get to 197 if you never get to 247. Do you hear what I'm saying, people? Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. Have the best day ever.